Hello, this here's the Angry GM, and I am about to start a live proofread aloud of my latest feature, which, huzzah and forsooth, I am recording a day before I have to publish it, which means I am officially kinda sorta on schedule-ish until the gods of karma hear me and a meteor strikes me in the head because I said that. But that's a problem for tomorrow, Angry. Today, Angry is more concerned with proofreading aloud the article that he's about to proofread aloud, and then answering questions and comments by the live audience here at Angry Games headquarters, who are here to listen and question and comment at the end. But enough yammering, let's get started with the article I have entitled, Is Game Balance Worth a Damn? And for reasons that the live audience will know, but none of you will ever know who are listening to the recording, none of this is going to have any errors in it for the first five paragraphs. I've been going pretty hardcore on this whole true campaign managery thing. That means I've been writing some pretty heavy shit. It also means that I haven't really been writing about gaming, but rather about people management. And while you definitely need to learn that crap, and while I'm definitely the only one willing and able to teach it, that ain't why I got into this business. Mainly, I got into this business so I could get paid to pick fights on the internet with sweary, ranty, hyperbolic, but totally correct, hot takes on controversial issues and insult anyone who dared to disagree with me. My point is, I need a palate cleanser and I'm itching for a slapdown. So I've searched through the list of topics my supporters have flung at me over the weeks and months for something I can give a spicy, fighty take on. So today, I'm gonna talk about game balance. Is game balance worth a damn? For some reason, I've got the question, is game balance worth a damn, in my big old notebook of supporter-suggested topics. I don't know who suggested it or when or why, and I don't care. I need something I can rant and ramble about between true campaign managery lessons, and I'm not up to doing an Ask Angry mailbag. So I'm going to explore the idea of game balance in tabletop role-playing games today. What is game balance in tabletop role-playing game terms anyway? And why is it something you absolutely should worry about? And why has it got nothing? Oh, there's a mistake in there. And that, so that means I lied because in the first five paragraphs there was a mistake. Whoops. And now there's a mistake because I can't type. And why is it something you absolutely should worry about? And why has it got nothing to do with whether or not you must balance your Dungeons & Dragons encounters to your player character's levels? Which, by the way, you must do. If you're running any edition of D&D published at or after the turn of the millennium, your world absolutely must level up with your player characters, or else you're a shit game master running a shit game. And if you disagree, feel free to comment below because I'm itching to play Whack-A-Moron. But maybe, if you're really, really nice, and I have some extra time, I'll tell you why that's how it be. For now, though, game balance, which has nothing to do with balanced encounters, except for everything. Why can't we talk about game balance like reasonable adults? It's almost impossible to have a reasonable, objective, critical, and dispassionate discussion about game balance. Which is fine, by the way, because I only ever aim for half those checkboxes. But why is it hard to talk about game balance like adults? It's down to two things. First, because game balance is one of those things whose meaning is really obvious until the minute you actually try to, you know, tell anyone what it means. That's when you realize it's really hard to pin down and no one agrees with you when you do. So everyone's just screaming past each other. And this ain't a gamers on the internet thing. Game designers have the same problem. Search online for game design definitions of game balance and you'll discover that they're like snowflakes. Actual flakes of snow, I mean, not internet snowflakes. I'm saying that no two definitions are alike. Not that they all pretend not to be alike, even though they are, so they can all feel super... I'm saying that no two definitions are alike. Not that they all pretend not to be alike, even though they are, so they can all feel super special and spend all their time screaming at each other over imagined slights and ruining fun for everyone in every community ever. Even game designers can't really talk about game balance. And that's because, second, game balance isn't about math and statistics and probabilities and damage outputs and shit like that. It seems like game balance is all about math, and so it's all quantitative and measurable and objective, especially in tabletop role-playing games, but it really, truly isn't. Game balance is really qualitative. You can't math it. Game balance is a practice, not a thing. It's a thing you do, not a thing that is. Game balance is about making shit fair. That's why it's so qualitative, because you have to say things like all else being equal and assuming an average and reasonable player all the time. Game balance is ensuring that players have a fair chance to succeed at whatever your game is about succeeding at. If it's a competitive game, it's about ensuring that two equally skilled players are evenly matched, that the game's systems and mechanics and options don't get in the way of the players pitting their skills against each other. And if the game pits the players against in-game challenges, game balance is about ensuring the players' skills are fairly matched to the challenges they face, which has nothing to do with balancing combat encounters. Well, it does, but that's so far downstream of all this shit that they're practically different topics. Except they're not, but I'll only explain that if you behave and when I get some extra time. Really, game balance is how your game's mechanics interrelate and interact and compare with each other. And it's about how those dynamical interactions between the game's mechanics and systems affect the outcomes of the player's actions. But really, really, game balance is ultimately about ensuring that your game's mechanics provide the players a satisfying gameplay experience. Is game balance worth a damn? Read that last paragraph again, the single sentence one that starts, "But really, really?" Now consider the question posed in that heading there. The answer should be effing obvious to anyone who's not a moron. Yes, game balance is worth a damn. Game balance means ensuring your game's mechanics provide a satisfying gameplay experience. Is there anything worth more of a damn than that? So why would anyone question whether game balance is worth a damn unless they're missing key brain lobes? Well, there are two reasons a non-mouth breather might ask that question. First, it's because they see game balance as a single solitary point on a line, or in space. And you probably think that too, don't you? Admit it. When I started talking game balance, you immediately pictured some kind of seesaw scale with players on one side, challenge on the other, and a precise tipping point in the middle. That's what you think game balance is, right? Second, it's because they think game balance means following D&D's admittedly somewhat shaky encounter design rules to the absolute letter every damn time. Maybe you think that too. Maybe you think game balance means pitting your player characters against a precise number of precisely built encounters following a precise difficulty budget or whatever. Except that's not really game balance. It's the end result of a balanced game design. Now, I'll come back to that first point in a bit. Maybe I'll get to the second point too. Who knows? Game balance is really about player skill. When you get down to it, game balance is about how much of an impact player skill has on the outcome of your game. And that is one of the things that makes game balance a tough topic. In many of the dumber corners of the internet gamer space, the term player skill is basically a slur. You can't say it. You can't suggest that a game, especially a tabletop role-playing game, should test a player in any way. Otherwise, you're being evil and non-inclusive and you're a gatekeeper and some other dumb horse shit like that. Fortunately, I've driven away all the mouth breathers who say such shit, so I don't have to add... Fortunately, I've driven away all the mouth breathers who say such shit, so I don't have to address that dumbassitude. I misspelled dumbassitude. Dumbassitude. Yeah, I wrote dumbassitude. Ititude. Yeah. Okay. No, it's still saying it's misspelled. I don't understand. Anyway, that's fine. I know it's spelled correctly. Game balance is about the extent to which the player's interactions with the game's mechanics affect the outcome of the game. In other words, it's how much the player's choices swing the odds in their favor. A game that isn't balanced at all isn't too hard or too easy. Instead, an unbalanced game is one in which the player's actions don't change the outcomes in predictable ways. Unbalanced games are impossible to win no matter the choices you make, or they're impossible to lose no matter the choices you make, or they're totally random so the choices you make don't matter. Bringing the game into balance means letting the player's choices and actions determine the outcome. This means that making good choices and taking clever action becomes important. That's player skill. And how important player skill is varies by the game. When the designer chooses where to balance the game, they're deciding how big a role player skill plays, and the threshold for right and wrong choices, and how forgiving the game is of wrong choices. Thus, where the game is balanced and how big a swath the balance cuts across the spectrum is extremely important. If the game's too forgiving or too easy, whatever that means, the player's victories don't mean anything. They don't feel earned, and so they're not satisfying. If all you've got to do to win is spam the attack button over and over, or if you can pick your favorite attack every time, that ain't a satisfying gameplay experience. You're not doing anything to win. On the other hand, if the game's too hard or unforgiving, however you define that, it's frustrating. The game's demanding too much of you, and the challenges don't feel fair. It might take you hours or days or weeks before you can consistently beat the game's challenges. Or maybe you never can. Maybe the game is demanding a level of skill that's totally beyond you. The myth of perfect balance. See why it's dumb to think of balance as a single punctual pivot? Game balance is a broad space on a very wide spectrum. You're trying to land somewhere between too easy and too hard, and there's a lot of space between those extremes. Second, you don't just aim for the midpoint between too easy and too hard. Your balance space is a design choice. Why? Because the midpoint ain't the right answer for every game. Some people, let's call them filthy casuals, prefer that games don't ask too much of them. They need some challenge, or else they'd not be playing games at all, but they don't want to make themselves ninja masters to win. They're in this gaming thing for other intrinsic rewards. Other gamers, let's call them true gamers, prefer to work hard for their victories. They're in games at least partially for the sense of achievement that comes with mastering a challenge. Basically, every player's got their own too easy and too hard flag planted somewhere on the broad challenge spectrum. When you design a game, you pick a space in that spectrum you think works best for the people you want to play your game. And in so doing, you're limiting your audience. But let's add another dimension to this big-ass mess of a thing. Matching skills and challenges. I said above that game balance is about how different game mechanics compare and contrast and relate and interact. And to grok that, you've got to understand that the phrase game mechanic is a very broad thing. Everything is a game mechanic. Rules, like how to roll attacks and determine damage, are game mechanics. Systems, like how hit points are lost and regained and what happens when you lose them all, are game mechanics. So are characters' abilities, like feats and class abilities and racial abilities and spells and magical items. And game constructs, like player characters and monsters and traps. And traps, I said traps twice, because traps are twice as good as everything else. And traps and hazards. And encounters and adventures. Even you, the game master, are a game mechanic. And how all those different mechanics interact, that's all part of the very complex thing that is game balance. But to give this discussion some focus and to make things a little clearer, I want to talk specifically about two broad ways of balancing tabletop role-playing games. They're not the only ways to look at balance in tabletop role-playing games. They're just to narrow the discussion. First, there's game balance between the player's options and choices. How does any option any player might choose compare to any other? Let's call that balance between options. Second, there's balance between the player's options and choices and the in-game challenges they must overcome. How does any ability or resource or game mechanic the player might use to interact with the challenges compare to the game's challenges themselves? Let's call that balance to challenges. How role-playing games challenge players. There are lots of ways games can challenge you. I could write a whole long-ass thing about the different kinds of challenges, even just in tabletop role-playing games. In fact, I think I have. I kind of remember doing something like that, but forget it. It doesn't matter. Right now, I'm going to focus on three broad, general kinds of challenges. This ain't an exhaustive list, and it ain't even the only way to break down challenges. I just want to explain some more shit about game balance. Remember, by the way, that a challenge refers to the extent to which your choices affect the odds of winning. It refers to how hard the right choices nudge the odds in your favor and how badly wrong, stupid choices tank your chances of success. First, there's the challenge that comes from making a good, strong character. That means picking combinations of skills and abilities that give the edge over the challenges you'll face, and picking options that synergize with those of your teammates, and equipping your character well, and using your level ups wisely, or whatever. I know some of y'all don't think of character creation as a challenge, and some of you scream your idiot heads off that it shouldn't be possible to make a good character or a bad character. I get that you're not personally into that kind of challenge, but don't mistake your preferences for objective game design rules, dumbass. And consider what I said above about the game balance lens and all that shit about too easy and too hard. If the game's totally winnable, no matter what shitty character you make, your character choices don't matter. It's just a skin suit you drape on yourself. It means nothing. I know some people want that, and the people you want to entertain will determine your approach to character generation, but I also know that no matter the target audience, D&D 5e has the wrong character creation system. But that's a fight for another time. For now, I just want you to acknowledge that character creation challenge is a thing, and it's perfectly valid even if you're too stupid to like it. Next, there's the challenge that comes from making the right choices and taking the right actions when confronting a challenge. In-game obstacle or problem or fight. Oh no, I can't. In-game, yeah, okay. Next, there's the challenge that comes from making the right choices and taking the right actions when confronting an in-game obstacle, solving problems and winning fights. That's tactical challenge, the challenge of making the right choices in the moment. Finally, there's the challenge that comes from properly predicting and preparing for the challenges you're gonna face. It's the challenge that comes in deciding what supplies to bring, what spells to prepare, and what equipment to equip when you set out on this or that quest. Let's call that planning challenge. And I need to correct a word here just quick. Boop, boop, boop. Okay. Of course, Each of these challenges affect the others, at least to some extent. The character you make determines the options you've got, and your preparation further determines what you've got on hand to face your challenges. The point is just that each of these challenges represents a different kind of player skill. Character creation is a skill. Intelligence gathering and forward planning is a skill. Creative problem solving is a skill. Tactical decision making is a skill. A game can test any or all of those skills and many, many others. And your strengths in one area can cover for shortcomings in another. If you suck at tactics, but you make strong characters and always have the right tool for the job, you can still win. The reason I highlighted those particular skills is that they highlight the two kinds of balance I mentioned earlier. Is that they complement. They don't highlight. Because I shouldn't say highlight twice, is that they complement. They think those two kinds of balance I mentioned earlier are very nice and are doing wonderful things with their hair. The reason I highlighted those particular skills is that they complement the two kinds of balance I mentioned earlier. Balance between options determines the extent to which your game tests character creation skill. Balance to challenges determines how much your game tests tactical skill. And both kinds of balance play into planning skill. Again, with the myth of perfect balance. I already explained how it's dumb to see game balance as a single point, how it's a big old range, and how it's a design choice based on who you want playing your game. But the implications of that shit probably ain't clear to all of you. Remember that while balance is about presenting players with fair challenges, with the caveat that fair is a broad sliding scale, balance is achieved by balancing the game's mechanics against each other, and the goal ain't to make everything perfectly balanced. Consider, for example, character creation challenge. If every option is equal, if you can somehow manage to balance every option, even though that's fucking impossible, given the open-endedness of role-playing games and that most of the options are situational and incomparable, if every option is equal, there's no place for skill anymore. There are no good choices and bad for players to learn and recognize. Same with the combat math. If the hit points and the damage outputs are all perfectly balanced, then there's nothing the players can do to change the odds, and nothing that forces them to get good, nothing that forces them to step up their game to meet a serious threat. Moreover, there's no way the players can cover one skill with another. If your game only tests tactical skill, say, but character creation is perfectly balanced, players who are better at planning or character creation can't leverage those skills to set themselves up for success. The point is, a good game's got to test several different skills, and its mechanics have got to be a little unbalanced. Yeah, I don't know what happened to me there. The point, maybe I had a stroke while I was reading that. The point is, a good game's got to test several different skills, and its mechanics have got to be a little unbalanced. Otherwise, it's all just a crapshoot. And flip a coin, you win on heads, isn't a challenge, it's a crapshoot. Of course, you can take this too far in the other direction. It should be possible to make a good character, for example, but if you can unwittingly or ignorantly make a character that renders the game unplayable, you're in for a shitty time. And if one wrong choice in the first round of an epic 10-round, 3-stage boss fight, props to Adam, makes the fight unwittingly... You can tell what line I was revising when that fight broke out, right? Those of you who were paying attention to the Discord earlier today. Of course, you can take this too far in the other direction. It should be possible to make a good character, for example, but if you can unwittingly or ignorantly make a character that renders the game unplayable, you're in for a shitty time. And if one wrong choice in the first round of an epic 10-round, 3-stage boss fight makes the fight unwinnable, that's also a pretty shitty time. This is why game balance is an immensely difficult, immensely complex, immensely fiddly pain in the ass, and why every game designer's got their own take on the process. And also why the hyperbolic statements dumbass gamers make that boil balance down to simple rules like every character should be equally viable should be ignored, or laughed at and insulted. Is game balance worth a damn? After reading everything I wrote above, if you're still asking whether game balance is worth a damn, you're beyond my help. Because game balance is abso-freaking-lutely worth a damn. It's complicated, it's fiddly, it's finicky, it's highly qualitative, and it's a giant pain in the ass. But it's at the core of what makes a game a game. It's about how a game challenges its players. And a game that provides no challenge is not a game. It's an activity, it's an experience. Likewise, a game whose outcome is an even-odds crapshoot isn't fun to play, and a game that's too easy is meaningless and unsatisfying, and a game that's too hard is frustrating. But how much do you, the average game master, have to give a damn about balance? Frankly, you don't have to think about it at all. If you're running a by-the-book game and a published adventure scenario, game balance ain't your problem. The system and scenario designers took care of it. You just have to execute the game, assuming the designers did a good job. And to put the kibosh on any hyperbolic bullshit, D&D's designers did do a good job on D&D 5e. It's balanced fine as anyone could possibly balance any tabletop role-playing game, because they're damned near impossible to balance. When people bitch and moan about D&D's balance, it's usually because they don't personally like where the designers decided to balance 5e. Because they purposely chose to plant the too easy and too hard flags in approachable, forgiving places. That ain't bad design or bad balance. And the fact that the vast majority of D&D's players feel like the game challenges them meaningfully and they're perfectly happy to play D&D for years and years and years without ever coming close to losing means the designers hit their mark. If you don't like where they put the bullseye, that's a you problem. Now, if you want to design your own game content or FUTZ, F-U-T-Z, with published content to make it your own, it might seem like you've got to sweat the whole game balance thing. But you don't. The systems designers took care of that too. They balanced the game's systems and they provided a bunch of scenario design instructions. If you follow their rules and set the difficulties the way they tell you to, and if you build monsters and traps and encounters and hazards the way they tell you, you'll end up with balanced, fair, fun adventures. Game balance is definitely worth a damn, but if you're just running games or homebrewing content, it ain't a thing you have to give a damn about. Better, smarter people have it handled. Just trust them. And if your players are having fun, it's working fine. This means your dumbass assessment of whether shit's too easy or too hard just doesn't matter. The end. Epilogue. Yes, the game must level with the characters. I promised that if you behaved and if I had some word count left, I'd talk about whether the world's supposed to level with the characters. And I'm gonna, briefly. But I'm also gonna say this. It's a complicated subject. It ain't straightforward. I'm only gonna address a little part of it here. What's complicating it is partly that most of y'all don't understand how you're supposed to use the tools D&D gives you. And Pathfinder, and all the rest. D&D doesn't actually expect you to balance all your encounters perfectly, and it does expect you to exercise some discretion. In fact, excuse me, I'm burping. And now I need a drink. D&D doesn't actually expect you to balance all your encounters perfectly, and it does expect you to exercise some discretion. In fact, D&D gives you the tools to adjust your game somewhat to your players' challenge tolerances. So if your players are finding your fights too easy or too hard, it probably ain't the system, it's you. Now, I admit that D&D is really bad at explaining itself. I get that. I'm not blaming you. It's evil, bad D&D that ruined your games. It's not your fault. But it is your responsibility to learn how to fix it. especially now that I've pointed it out. So let me know if you want that shit. Meanwhile, let me address the screaming, shrieking, idiot elephant on the battlefield. There's this dumbass open question about whether, in their explorations, players should encounter only level-appropriate baddies, or if they should occasionally trip over a beholder or a red dragon or whatever that they've got no... That. I screwed that up again. I'm having trouble reading today. Okay. There's this dumbass open question about whether, in their explorations, players should encounter only level-appropriate baddies, or if they should occasionally trip over a beholder or a red dragon or whatever that they've not got a smurf's chance in a blender of taking in a fight. People make lots of arguments about contrivance and realism and verisimilitude, and every last one is complete and total horseshit. Those ain't good criteria around which to build a game, or even an activity. And I'm a simulationist ain't an excuse, it's just a different way of pronouncing I'm a complete moron. Simulationism and narrativism aren't different approaches because game design subsumes both simulation and narrative. But that's a whole other thing. It's like this. If you're running any modern edition of Dungeons & Dragons for any average players, they're going to assume they can fight anything they face. And that's because D&D has been built on that exact assumption for the last 25 years. If you drop a challenge in front of your players that they've got no chance of overcoming, you're an asshole. You are not playing fair. You're being a dick. That's not how D&D works. If you don't like that, find another system and recruit different players. But don't piss and moan about that's how it shouldn't, or that's not how it should be. Do you know why? Most players like it better that way, and thus D&D has been built around those assumptions. And yes, old editions were different. Want an old edition approach? Run an old edition for old gamers! Now, I ain't saying this shit because the game tells scenario designers to provide balanced encounters. The assumption that the player characters can always take a hostile baddie in a fight runs much deeper than that. Most of what's on the character sheet is about making a combat badass, and you're constantly growing in combat power. The text blurbs that introduce the game and half the artwork in the books tells everyone, if you encounter a baddie, you have the tools to kill it. You are a monster killer. Modern D&D actually shows modern D&D actually shows a very sophisticated understanding of game design. It expects and empowers scenario designers and game masters to present and run well-designed gameplay experiences. So, for example, it's on the scenario designer, through the game master, to set proper goals and expectations. That's just how the game works. It's something Gygax and Arneson didn't know because sophisticated game design hadn't been invented yet. But it means modern players respond to the challenges they face based on the signals they receive and the patterns they've experienced. If the players beat 90% of the monsters they meet with the tools they've got, they'll assume they can kill 100% of the monsters they meet. It won't occur to them that they'll encounter a monstrous, hostile thing they can't outright gank. If, on the other hand, the players get into trouble half the time and have to avoid a lot of fights, they'll default to combat avoidance first and only fight when left no choice. But that ain't how modern D&D works. That's old school D&D. Old school D&D was about finding ways not to fight, which is why it's not fun. Because fighting is fun. Who wants to create a combat badass in a game called Dungeons & Dragons and encounter a hostile dragon and not slay that fucker? No one! That's stupid! D&D is also not balanced to allow players to extricate themselves from unwinnable fights. I've talked before about the lack of ways to handle retreat and evasion, but this is deeper than that even. The way damage and hit points and monster abilities scale, a party that gets into a fight they can't handle might be half dead before anyone's turn comes up. Players sure as hell don't have two or three rounds to enact an escape plan. D&D scales from well-trained badass normal to epic level demigod. If you punch above your weight class, the only way you'll have time to apologize is with your dying breath. D&D also ain't designed to telegraph monster power levels, and most game masters and scenario designers fuck that up further by reskinning monsters and advancing monsters and using whatever monster they damn well want and whatever level they're running. By the book, in D&D, there are dragons I can kill as low as third level. Meanwhile, I can run into an orc I couldn't kill at fifth level if he's been advanced a little. So the only way players can determine what's too big a threat is to let it punch the tank and see if he survives or if he's converted into a fine red mist. As I said, though, this is a very complicated issue, and I'm only addressing one specific aspect right now. I'm telling you whether the player characters should ever stumble over a potentially hostile monster they can't beat in a fight. No, they never should. If you're running any edition of D&D published this century, you can't build your game that way. And if you do, you're wrong. Sorry. Does that mean you can't ever build an encounter around an unwinnable fight or a flight from danger? Of course not. You just have to do it deliberately and do it right. This isn't to say you should do it. Those encounters suck. But the fact that it's a sucky idea doesn't mean I can't be convinced to explore this topic more next time I don't know what to write. You know what to do.